two. One more time. Welcome to Hungry Magazine Culinary Podcasting. All of our podcasts can be found at www.hungrymag.com. My name's Mike Nagrant, and this week we sat down with the real and undisputed sausage king of Chicago, Doug Soane. Doug's the owner of Hot Doug's Restaurant in Chicago's Avondale neighborhood. He's also a graduate of Kendall College, one of Chicago's premier culinary programs. At his restaurant, he purveys the finest in case meats, including the game of the week, which could be anything from rattlesnake to kangaroo. Soane has earned a cult following for the duck fat fries he makes on weekends. They're hand-cut French fries deep-fried in a vat of duck fat and dusted with kosher salt. We started out talking about how great food doesn't have to be highbrow.
My website mission, I joke that our dirty secret is we love the salad of the Olive Garden.
There are certain things I tell people. It's like, you know what? My favorite red beans and rice in the city? Popeyes.
Yeah.
I think they have the best red beans and rice. It's like, you know, to me it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's like, is it good?
Yeah.
Is my only question. Is it good? Is it a fair price? And is it good?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what difference does it make? You know, and it's like, because, you know, I get asked, you know, well, you're making hot dogs instead of high-end dining. It's like, well, what's the difference? It's like, does it taste good? And it's like, and trust me, you work in a restaurant, I don't care what it is, if you're doing foie gras or whatever, the point is cook it, get it out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what difference does it make? You know, cook it till it's done, make it right, and get it out of here. You know, that's, it doesn't matter, like, what you're doing. Good for you. You're right. I'm with you. Does it taste good?
So I like to do a little bit of research before I interview somebody.
Thank you, which is good, because that doesn't always happen. I appreciate that.
You know, although...
Look, I thought she was 16, okay?
Well, you know...
these things happen.
I understand.
Yeah.
I know you went to Kendall. And,
yes.
You know, but one of the things I hadn't really been able to find out is, you know, kind of in between Hot Dogs and Kendall...
Sure.
What did you do? How did you kind of come to that point?
Did not go to Kendall thinking. Went to Kendall because I wanted to. Kind of had the opportunity. It's like, wasn't satisfied with what I was. You know, I was working for. What was I doing at that point? Like desktop publisher, working for someone like sort of bumming around and really didn't know what I wanted to do. And it's like I had the opportunity. It's like, you know what, I could go back to school and wanted to learn, really just wanted to go, won the opportunity to go back to school and two, learn how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if I wanted to work in a restaurant. I certainly didn't want to own a restaurant. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I'll tell you that story. And then how Hot Dogs happened is a friend of mine there, literally, it sounds apocryphal, but it is true. A guy I worked with, who wasn't even in the cookbook department, came in one day and was like, we were chit-chatting. He was like, you know, I had a bad hot dog this weekend. How do you make a bad hot dog? And I was like, you know, I think you can, and I think people do. And for about 2 years, a group of four of us from the company would go out every 2 weeks, just very, you know, go forward to a hot dog place, like four char dogs, four fries, four sodas. And then we'd have to like kind of started like write a little review and grade, and it became this silly exercise.
It's like the hot dog pilgrimage.
Totally. And then it became this ridiculous exercise where the reviews got way longer. You know, it used to be three sentences, now they're like a page and like referencing the things that happened there and other stuff. And
so
it was very, very funny to us.
Today you start the hot dog website.
Oh, totally. We were way ahead of our time. Exactly. Oh, because there were references to things and like what other people did, and there were some other things involved. And they called them, the four of us. And it was very, very funny. I actually read through it not too long ago, like crying, laughing. Some of the stuff was hysterical, like remembering like why it was, you know, what happened at lunch that day, why that was written. And so we ended, after like 30 of them, like the idea started formulating, well, if I had a place, I would do, I like what this guy does. This guy's totally missing the boat. This guy's close, but if he just did this, it would be right. You know, and started just formulating, and after, you know, a few more, I was like, well, I could have a place. And also got to the point, this combination of that and kind of was missing sort of being hands-on food-wise, and I didn't, you know, I was tired of working in a cubicle in an office, and also got to the point at the job where I was like, I didn't want to take the next step up. Was like, yeah, I really don't want that. It was like time to do something else. And if I was going to do this, I needed to do it now while I'm still physically able to do it. And it's like, you know, it's like, you know, sort of as opportunity knocks, you got to open the door. And so I was like, okay, let me take a shot and see if I can do this. So I left the job and started searching, you know, locations and, you know, sort of putting together the ideas more and more. And that's really what happened. I never had any intention ever of owning my own restaurant. And it's funny, after I'd been open a couple of months, the person who had the bad hot dog reminded me that he was, what I had told him when he was thinking about opening up his own barbecue place, which was never, ever, ever, ever open your own restaurant. And I was like, yeah, well, where was that reminder? He goes, well, you seem fairly intent on this. And I was like, yeah, okay.
That was funny.
So, yeah, so, you know, it certainly didn't take my own advice.
Did you even do like a formal business plan? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't
like,
say formal, but there is a business plan.
PowerPoint presentation.
No, there's no PowerPoint presentation, but there is like written out, because you learn actually at Kendall, I mean, you learn how to do that. So it did put together like budget and did that kind of research and sort of the bulk of the business, but the main part of it was kind of like the idea of what I wanted to do. These are sort of the ideals, what I wanted to create as this restaurant. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely put together that a little bit. My brother, who's was a lawyer at the time, he's no longer practicing, he helped out, you know, a fair amount, like, putting this together. And, yeah, and it just started. I was like, okay, let's see if we can do this. And it was an extremely – were you ever at the old store?
You know, I didn't make it to the old store.
It was – if you'd seen it, it was an extremely minimal investment. So, you know, and I wasn't going to open up a $2.5 million restaurant by any means. And like, this was something I could do with minimal, you know, talking to a few people, like, you know, them putting, you know, making the investment. Worst case scenario, it goes belly up in 6 months. No one's lost their house. No one's lost their college fund. I go get a job. I go to, it's like, okay, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years later.
It's working out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It burned down and something, but other than that, things are still working out. Yeah, it just fine.
Was there? I don't know. I think maybe it was like a rumor or whatever. Was there ever a point where you didn't think you were going to reopen? Or
oh yeah. Oh sure. After the fire. I mean, it happened in April of 2000. What year is this? Six. So 2004. Oh yeah. Oh, for the first few months, like, I'm out. It's like, you know what? It was great. It was done. I mean, there's definitely that sort of feeling, you know, of like, had sort of achieved, you know, a little bit of the cult status kind of thing. It's like, and then gone. It's like, how perfect is that? You know, it's definitely an element of that. And it's like, you know, to gear up and do it again, you know, like, oh my goodness. Like, do I really want to do that? And then
the timing was great too, right? Because it was right when
summer vacation. I was watching the thing and going, hey, summer vacation, you know? Yeah. And so, and then just started to get more and more into it. And I was like, combination of factors. One, really couldn't think of anything else to do. Two, there were things that I wanted to do at the old place that I never got to do. Not only because it was no longer there, but also I wouldn't have been able to do because of the size and scope limitations, the physical limitations of the space.
What's an example of what you're doing that you couldn't do?
Or just expand the menu, do more specials, yeah. Do more unusual sauces, get a better inventory of stuff. Do things like we have cassoulet on the menu this week, things like that. There was more stuff I wanted to do. I wanted the fries to be better. I wanted to be able to double fry them, and couldn't do it there just because we didn't have room for another fryer.
So do you do like the two temperature fry then?
Yeah, we blanch and then high end fry and crisp them up. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that at home. My wife thinks I'm crazy. No, I'm like,
but they're better.
The way.
Exactly. That's a letter recipe. Hit them in the deep fryer. It's like they're better, aren't they? You're like, well, yeah, you know. So it was a combination of those things and also just unbelievable. It's still sort of overwhelming, the outpouring from customers, and just so incredible, just awe-inspiring, heartwarming, and just like, oh my God, I mean, like, you know, incredible people emailing, stopping me on the street. Like, I mean, I was like, hey, when are you reopening? You know, miss it. I remember driving down Southport one day, and it was the summer, the car windows open, and hearing like this disembodied voice going, "Hey, when are you opening?" Like, you know, like, well, I don't even know where that came from. You know, so as soon as like soon, I guess that's like that was sort of like, I guess I got to do this. And so I started looking for, it's like, okay, we'll start looking for a space, and if I can do it, sort of gave myself a time period. If I can't get a space, feasible space in this time period, I'm doing something else. You know, but it worked out. Found this space, and it's been tremendous.
Yeah.
It's just been tremendous. And again, the just the fact how many customers have come back, you know, went to the old place and have come back and have been so supportive is just incredibly touching and humbling and heartwarming.
I mean, I think accepting like Garrett's downtown, you know. There aren't many places that have the kind of lines you do.
True. Yeah, it's.
I went to Yumasich and.
Exactly. And, I've been there. Yeah.
And it was funny. I was down there.
They closed up. There was an big article in the Times. That's right. They did close up. And I totally understand. It's like after a while, it's like, yeah, we're good. Their timing was not so bad. I'm like,
I was down there in New Orleans for Jazz Fest last year, so in April. And it was the perfect storm because R.W. Apple had just written the article about the closing.
Sure.
It was the week before they were closing because they were going to close right after Jazz Fest.
Right.
So we got there like 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's like an hour before it opened or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I always joke it was like trying to get Pearl Jam tickets in 94 at Ticketmaster.
Excellent.
Which is what I think your place is like, too.
I mean, yeah, there, I'd stand in line for that place.
Yeah.
There are many places I would, but them, sure. Yeah, that was some of the best oysters I've ever had. And some of the best, you know, just overall, I mean, the place is one of those, I feel blessed that I was able to eat there before they closed it up.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it was one of those like just real special places.
And rumor is he might open up in like a smaller capacity, like an appetizer type place.
Really?
And not, you know, do the full out thing.
He just does the oysters, fine with me.
Yeah, frankly, you know, although I did have the soft shell crab that was like the baddest.
I think we weren't there during that time. We were there, we missed that, but we were there for but he did, we did have, you know, like the, I think it was a trout, like in the, you know, the stick and a half of butter, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, the oysters were amazing, and that place is just, it was just one of those great places. Yeah, no doubt.
So when you were starting out, did you have to do anything crazy, like dress up as like a hot dog?
Not at all. No, not at all. The very first place, not at all. It was no, we opened up in January of 2001, and it was me and one other, a friend of mine helped me out. He needed, he's like, you know, like 3 months where I need like sort of work. I was like, okay. And no, just like kind of opened up. And actually at the beginning, the bulk of the business was Lane Tech. We were pretty close to there, and like they were probably providing the first few months like 70% of the business. And then it started to get a little bit known, and part of it was Roscoe Village started getting bigger and more people moving in, and that happened, especially at the West End where we were. And then we started getting a little notoriety in some articles written up. There was an article, there was that Channel 11 mag, they had like a newspaper for a little while, I forget the name of it. Then we got an article in there, then the Reader wrote about us, then the Sun Times, you know, a little bit here and there, and then we got, started getting a little bigger, and I think that summer, the year after, I think it was the year after, the following summer, we got written up, I think in the Sun Times, like Pat Bruno gave us a great review, and that, it kind of exploded from there. But other than that, like, did almost no advertising at all, a little bit in the Onion, and there was another food paper that I can't remember the name of. The woman tried to do like a Midwest food paper.
Had the duck fat been on the fries been on the menu the whole time? Or
almost. We did that. I mean, it's something I always wanted to do. Wasn't able to do it for about, I think we started that about maybe 8-10 months into it, and we had like a little like a, literally a fryer like from Target. So you could do one order at a time, and there'd be like a 45-minute wait, and then I ended up getting like a bigger fryer. And that's, that really started out as just sort of a novel, just to sort of make, like, you know, because I like them. And it's like, I always wanted to do it, and there was a restaurant in Bordeaux, France, called La Tupina.
Okay.
And they have like a cauldron of duck fat in the open fireplace in the center of the restaurant. And the, I mean, you know, there they cut up the potatoes and they fry them in that, then they season them with a little, you know, rock salt and fresh thyme and pepper. And I was like, oh, those aren't bad. So I sort of did it as like this sort of to make it funny. And then those kind of took on a life of their own.
Yeah.
And got a lot of, you know, not only the write-ups from that, but yeah, they're pretty, their taste. So yeah, and went from that to like, you know, kind of a tabletop fryer to now I have a, you know, I think it's 40 pounds of, you know, duck fat bubbling away on Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
I was reading about, I remember I was reading Jeffrey Steingarten did an article.
Sure,
about,
yeah, but the horse fat fries. Yes, exactly.
I was like, so where is the horse fat?
Yeah, exactly. That, I think, one step at a time. We'll work on that later.
One animal.
Yeah, precisely.
I mean, but then again, you're serving rattlesnake and kangaroos.
No doubt. We're still serving foie gras and so forth. Yeah, exactly.
What was your take on that, on the whole band?
I think it's absurd.
Yeah.
So many reasons. You know what? It's like, City of Chicago, there's some major problems still in the city. Does time really need to be spent in the city council on that? And two, it's, you know, have you seen how food is produced in this country?
Yeah.
Foie gras, like, they're probably living the best life of all. You know, the beast there.
The
yeah, it's like, you see how eggs are produced in this country? And stuff. And it's like, I did and loved Mayor Daley's response to it, which was basically, he's like, well, they'll call it something else. We don't have inspectors. They're not going to be able to check. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? Just name it something else. Exactly. I think it's absurd. It is.
You're obviously a fan of pop culture.
Absolutely.
You know, just look at the menu, right?
Exactly.
I was curious if you ever had a moment where, you know, like Sean Dunstan was served to Sean Dunstan, or have you had a celebrity?
Well, Paul Kelly has been served to Paul Kelly. Paul Kelly's actually the guy I worked with who had the bad hot dog one day. The closest, well, we used to have the Jackie Bang and Mash at the old place, and Jackie Bang did have the Jackie Bang and Mash. The only other one, I did receive an email. We got a little write-up about the Steve Diggle in Mojo magazine, the British music magazine, and Steve Diggle emailed me saying, I think the line was, I've always wanted to eat my own sausage. So, which was great. And to me, it's like, I made Mojo. It's like, oh, it's all been worth it. You know, it's like, that is sort of the pinnacle. Nothing personal. But it was like, you know, that was extremely exciting. I think that Charlie and James Soane have had the Charlie and James Soane. They're my nephews. But I think that's it. If I'm not, yeah, I think that is. No, that's not true. The Roseanne Tejas had a Roseanne Tejas when it was at the old place.
She liked it.
I think so.
Okay.
She was extremely nice about that. I couldn't. She was like, "Well, I'll have that." Like, she was like, "Her face, like, I can't charge you. You know, I named it for you." I think that Dunstan was ever. Rick Ross will never in. Britney Spears never in.
Madonna has
not come in. I'm
Elvis
sad to say. Probably not. I hope not.
So he's been spotted at Burger King.
There is that. Exactly. He could upgrade a little bit. Exactly.
You're a Cubs fan too, obviously.
Yeah, that's sort of. Not so good a lot.
The Sox plunge you into depression?
No, not at all. Because I will say I'm just a big baseball fan, so I've always like I've never understood why like if you like the Cubs, you can't like the Sox. Like, well, they never. I mean, growing up, they never played each other, and it's like it's two different leagues, and it's a Chicago team. I'll take what I can get. The Cubs are there. These last couple of years, more bitter than I've ever been being a Cubs fan. I'm close to becoming a Brewers fan. Because, you know, sausage race, the most exciting minute and a half in all of sport. they're killing me. But you're recording this? Fifth place.
Yeah.
2006, fifth place.
All right. We'll
maybe
this.
Fourth.
We'll revisit
you're right now, fifth place. I also said the Bears would win three games, so I'm, you know, doing very well. But yeah, fifth place if they're lucky. Only because Pittsburgh's that bad that I'll say they're not in last.
Huh.
Yeah, they're killing me.
Is there anything intimately personal you want to share that you
I don't like wearing pants.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's all I got. I just don't. I mean, if I didn't, you know, it wasn't sort of like mandated, I probably, you know, I don't really care for them.
They're encumbering, you know.
They are, and it's just, I just don't really care for them. That's it.
So what's your typical hot dog? What do you love?
See, it's funny. It's sort of, I mean, the irony of the place is the one person who would love this place the most is the one person who can't go there and eat. You know, it's like, you know, to me it's like, whoa, wait, there's this place, all they serve is sausage, they have fries and duck fat, they play Buzzcocks music all day. It's like, well, this place is, and all the cherry Coke you can drink for a buck, like, this is awesome. You know, I was like, oh, dog, can't go there. I sample stuff all the time. We get samples in, or I'm always, like, checking, like, old stuff. Because someone asked me not too long ago, actually, do you still, you know, like hot dogs? Like, absolutely. If I have a chance to go out, I usually don't order one. And I'm also at a point, I bring my own to Wrigley Field. Because they're horrible there. It's like, I refuse it. I bring my own. But still, it's like, I still find I'm just, you know, every so often I'll just have, like, you know, a Chicago steam dog or grilled dog. And they just taste great. And I still do, too, love having that. The basic dog. I mean, all the other stuff is great. But I love the dog.
When you bring your own, do you actually have, like, a cooler?
We wrap them up, like, in foil, like, keep, you know, throw them in the bag, and they stay relatively warm. Like, I'll go home after work, throw them in, like, a low oven for a while, bring them to the ballpark, wrap them in foil, they stay warm enough.
Nice.
They're still better because I'm convinced that Wrigley, they cook all the hot dogs for the year in February. And there's, like, a hot box under second base where they keep them and for the entire year because it's phenomenal how bad they are.
That's
right. And it's not like you're not paying a buck for them. So it's like I got to the point last year. I was like, I'm done. I refuse to eat the hot dogs there. I'll bring my own.
Gotta have your principles.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So is there a you don't make your own, right? I think you get most of it.
We get from all over the place. I don't. I'm now working with a sausage maker down in the. Market area in the Randolph Street market area who makes a lot of them exclusively for us, different, like, based on our concepts and more concept than recipe, but a lot of the stuff, the corned beef sausage, the bacon sausages, the gyros, we have the uber garlic sausage on the menu, the ribeye steak sausage, he's making more and more for us, like, based on, like, this is sort of, you know, what I'm looking for. Otherwise, everything else comes from literally all over the world. We get things in from France, Colorado, Wisconsin, upstate, up in New Hampshire. I get a Portuguese, there's a big Portuguese community in New Hampshire. I had no idea, but so I get some linguica. Get some linguica from there.
I think I saw mystic pizza once, and there was
Fine, that's fine, exactly. Yeah. It's a guy had a glass of pork. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. And Vienna provides a lot, and I get some through some local, you know, game purveyors. But stuff comes, you know, FedEx and dry ice. You can get anything from anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah, I used to get stuff in from New Orleans. It'll be a little while before that happens again.
I just picked up the charcuterie by...
I have that book, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was like, yeah, because that's actually my goal after retirement. You know, it's like the two things is like, teach myself to play guitar and make salami.
It's funny that you say that about guitar, because one of the things, and Graham Ellie Bowles was telling me, Alan Richmond, the food writer, came in to interview or talk to Graham, and he said that Alan had this theory that all chefs are failed musicians.
Want to be rock stars. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it is the one thing I do regret, like, you know, when I was, you know, 15, is like, why didn't I just pick up a guitar and just learn to play guitar then? It's like, go, you know, it wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, I suppose opening a hot dog stand in Chicago is kind of punk rock. I mean, you know, I would joke that it's probably like, trying to sell matchsticks in hell or something.
One of the results of doing, you know, going out for the hot dogs for this couple of, we did for about 2 years, was most of the places are sort of like B minus C plus. sort of mediocre, because they all sell, you know, it's all gyros and pizza puffs and chicken breast sandwiches, and so the hot dog ends up, you know, since the profit margin is so low, they're not getting the best dogs. First of all, they're certainly not getting the best condiments, and it's an afterthought at most places. And this is a city that has this reputation for, you know, the Chicago style hot dog, and I think there are very few places that do it really, really well. And there are still some places that do it well, but most of them are sort of medium. And that was kind of the place, like, you know what? It should still be really good. There's no reason it shouldn't be. And you know, that was certainly another, like, a real impetus for doing the store in the first place.
Is there a game of sausage or a particular animal that you haven't served that you want to serve and you just haven't been able to find it?
I tried to get reindeer for around Christmas time, and that's been unsuccessful. There's some legality question, availability questions.
No sea bass hot dogs.
I'm actually trying to do. I've gotten a couple of, still looking for more seafood stuff. Like, I got a couple samples in that were inedible. I was like, yeah, I can't really serve that.
Do you guys mix up your own sauces for a lot?
Yeah,
of those?
I make all the sauces on the specials board. I make those.
How much are you coming in a lot early, doing a lot of prep?
Yeah, I'm usually in by, like, that's the part. I mean, that's the because since I don't cook during the day, you know, like on the line at all. That's, you know, that's the part I like, is those first couple hours in the morning. I get in about 7:30, and that's like my time. No one else is there. I'm in the prep kitchen, you know, testing stuff, making sauces, playing around with stuff, you know, doing a lot of research on that. That part's been really fun and really enjoyable. But yeah, so I still actually do some cooking.
Cool.
Yeah.
How many hot dogs do you guys go through in a week?
We're probably doing now, just the basic dog, around 1,000.
Yeah?
Yeah. Probably around 1,000 of the basic dog a week, yeah.
Wow.
I think that's about right. Yeah. I'm going to do my math quickly, yes.
See, you don't eat the hot dogs as much, obviously, because you're, you know, like you just talked about. What do you like to eat when you're not working? Are there some places you like to go, or just a particular...
Sure. And pretty much at this point, it's like, the two main criteria I look for is, like, no waiting and a liquor license. You know, I try to support as many of the independent restaurants as I can, you know, and I try to go to, although they'll say I don't, the rest of the, you know, the chefs who come into my place, I try to go to their restaurants as well. Otherwise, I mean, it's the same, you know, it's what I look for, you know, what I try to provide. I like restaurants where I know that have a personality, and the personality is the person who owns it, runs it, or the chef. That they do the things that I try to do, that it is provide good raw product, fair price, you know, fair price for what it is. I don't mind paying a lot of money for food, but it's got to be worth it. You know, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be right. Pretty wide. I mean, I love, you know, I still cook at home. And, you know, I tend to go out more for ethnic food, fair, you know, good amount of sushi, Thai, Indian, love Indian food, love Korean food. Pretty much go, you know, anywhere.
What do you like to do? You like to cook for yourself?
Yeah, still love to cook. Still, since I don't, like, not, like, over a stove all the time at work, I still do like to cook at home.
What do you like to cook?
Yeah, pretty much anything. Still like to, you know, the two things I won't, that I still love, will absolutely go out for, are sushi and steak.
Yeah.
Because the two things that I can't get the quality for home. I mean, I could probably buy sushi, but I can't buy the variety,
right,
and have that at home. And I, you know, it's really hard to get the quality of steak in a steakhouse, and my oven doesn't go up to 1400.
Right.
So, you know, that, I don't, other than that, make a fair amount of pasta, and, you know, love roast chicken, and real, like, you know, nothing, like, super fancy, you know, but you know, basic stuff. But yeah, pretty much anything. I mean, I love, you know, burgers. If it's good, you know, like I say, like, there's nothing more satisfying than, like, you know, Sunday morning, like, you know, Lox bagel and cream cheese.
Sure.
It's like, I'm a happy guy.
Simple,
you know, like,
great.
And a good cup of coffee, you know, it's like... And some cucumbers, sure. You know, and it's like, you know, like a really good burger. And they, you know, that's heaven. Yeah, and, or like getting, from one of the purveyors, like every so often, like getting a whole foie gras and like a couple friends over and just sauteing that and having just that with like, you know, and like a great bottle of wine. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine too.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, if the foie gras ban went through, I'd have to move.
It'd be a tough thing. It's like, okay, we're all going to France. The other night, a friend of mine who works for Murray's Cheese Shop in New York brought some cheeses in, and we just had cheeses, and I got some, you know, good salamis and pâtés, and just sat around and drank good wine and just ate that, and, you know, good bread. And I was like, I was thrilled. You know, it was great. Like, that kind of stuff. You know, there are times that, like, a bowl of cereal is like, oh, perfect. You know, after like some days like working crazy, working in the kitchen, I don't feel like cooking.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
You know, I usually go for more. I'm the person who still buys product 19 for some reason. Really like the product, you know, or Cap'n Crunch. You know, one of the two. But I actually still buy like for some reason. I like product 19.
I've never had it because I just think it's the worst name ever.
No doubt about it, the worst name. And literally, I'm pretty sure I don't know anyone who's like, no, I actually like seek it out. It's like, I don't know, there's something about it I do enjoy. That, or there are times it's like, you know, at this point, who's going to bring, you know, I love living in Chicago because you can get anything delivered to you. You know, it's like there are times I just want a pizza, you know, and a bottle of wine. It's like, great, thank you. Someone brought me that. It's like, I'm a happy man.
You know, it's a tough day at Hot Dogs, and you know, one of the guys working behind you does something crazy and you accidentally stab him.
Yeah, these things happen.
You know.
Yeah.
So you're on death row.
Right.
It's the last meal.
Yeah. Man. Oh, man.
So, you know, it's mortality. This is it.
This is it, huh? That's a tough one. That's an unbelievable tough one. Can it be multiple courses or one entree?
Multiple courses. Although Graham said that a wheel of laughing cow cheese makes
it's like, yeah, I'm not going that route. Boy. It might be a corn, you know, just off the top of my head right now, a corned beef sandwich on good fresh rye bread with a good brown mustard, followed by a big plate of the duck fat french fries.
Sure.
And then probably end up with, boy, it's a tough one. You hate to leave sausage out of the equation.
Yeah.
But I might have to go with a big plate of the fried chicken from Gus's Fried Chicken in Memphis. Or in Mason, Tennessee.
Oh, heaven.
Yeah. Hate to leave out ribs.
You can do it all. You
hate to leave out the chakrin and then a chakrut. Then for dessert. That's where the sausage comes in. For dessert, the chakrut from Chez Yvonne in Strasbourg, France.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go that.
Precisely.
Exactly. I can try. I can probably. And I think if that is my last meal, I can do it. I'm pretty sure I can do it. Yeah, we'll go. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. So, yeah, the sandwich, the fries, some fried chicken. This is really just like two thighs would probably be all I need. And then the chakrut with some good sausages on top. Yeah, we'll go that. Yeah, I'll be happy again.
You know, it's...
Having said that, there are still a zillion things that the problem is that I've left out. Yeah, what are you going to do?
You got to pick something.
Precisely, exactly. You got to pick something.
It might change after.
You know, precisely.
You have a lot of time to contemplate it, probably.
God, I hope so. And it's also funny when people say, like, your favorite band is like, today the Buzzcocks, tomorrow could be the Clash, I don't know. But today, right now, you know, it's Steve Miller Band.
You're obviously a big punk rock fan with the Steve Diggle. And what are some of the other bands that you like? Obviously the Buzzcocks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate.
I saw you hit the Claws Fluoride on the...
It's a DK set. You know, I feel very fortunate that I was sort of the age that, like, really, you know, high school and college were... 76 to 84. Like, I feel very fortunate that the time I was able to go to shows, to really become aware of music, to be able to buy records at the time was, you know, that time period. I mean, I love, you know, Clash, Buzzcocks, Elvis Costello, Devo, B-52s, Talking Heads, Blondie, you know, that whole era, you know, the 77, 79 period. Huge Steve Miller Band fan. I love, to me, like, the two great achievements, of artistic achievements of the 20th century are movies and the three-minute pop song. Still, like, a huge Beatles fan, huge, you know, and if it's a chick singer, forget about it. I'm all over it. You know, love one-hit wonders from that, you know, those 80s, ridiculous 80s songs. You know, people mock the Safety Dance. It's a great song. And it's like, you know what? You go to a party, you know, and right now, and it's like, you want to really, like, make the party fun and get it going? You want to put on Safety Dance or Nirvana? You're putting on Safety Dance.
Sure.
Like, you guarantee it. It's like, it's going to be more fun.
Sure.
So those are like the premiere, you know, that's the sort of the cream of the crop. Big Jonathan Richman, Modern Lovers fan. And still, I'm the guy, you know, I still buy CDs. I still love going to the record store and buying discs. Love that Killers disc.
Yeah,
Kaiser Chiefs, I think, is terrific. The Decemberists. Big, still a big Madonna fan. I think her new
Colin White played Monday night at Park West, the lead singer of the Decemberists.
Oh, really?
Just a solo gig.
Oh, awesome.
But they, I guess I just read they just signed to Capitol Records, so
really? Oh,
they're leaving,
you know,
Kill Rock Stars going.
Yeah, you know, you got it. You know what? You work that hard, you should get some money.
I think that's okay.
No problem with that. I don't mind, like, these guys who sell, like, their songs to, like, you know, it's unfortunate none of the Ramones are actually really reaping the benefits of their songs on commercials, but it's like, you know, when I heard one of the Buzzcocks songs was like on a Toyota. Was it Everybody's Happy Nowadays? It was one of the Buzzcocks songs was on a Toyota commercial.
Yeah,
I was like, fantastic. I was like, you know what? Good. I hope you're cashing the check and you know, buying yourself something nice. Like, deservedly so.
Well, I think there's a funny story about, I think it was Steve Diggle, actually. I think he was at, like, the MTV or some event,
right,
where Green Day was there, and he was, like, standing right next to them, and they introduced him as Green Day, and Green Day was like, oh, you know, we're big fans, you're such an inspiration, blah, 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 and he's like, yeah, I've never heard of you guys.
Yeah, sweet. Exactly. It's like, and you know what? He can get away. You're Diggle. You can get away with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, those guys, you know, they're, you know, today, yeah, they've top five, hands down. So yeah, been just an interesting little, you know, it's one of my favorite things about having this store is I get to play my records all day and still, you know, get to listen to stuff I haven't listened to in a while. More new things, and it's been really nice. Some of the local labels have dropped off a bunch of things, and it's like, oh, great, you know. It's been fun, and it's great that people still make music, and
yeah.
it's just tremendous. And it's one of the great, you know, to me, it's one of the great admirable things you can do in your life is to record music.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to do after retirement.
Yeah, precisely. Nah, I just want to learn to play guitar. I don't know if you desire to record anything, but just like just want to, you know, be able to play, like, you know, Smoke on the Water.
Well, you've got the theme song.
We
right?
do have a theme song that a friend of mine recorded.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is, you know,
it's like, I don't, Pooch or, you know, Portillo's doesn't have a theme song, as far as I know.
So,
yeah, whatever with them.
You know, that's why they're small time.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly.
So, you know, I think one of the things I like about Hot Dogs is, or just the concept in general of you
sure.
going to culinary school and yet, you know, kind of opening, you know, up something that's accessible like this. One of the things that I thought was interesting was how, you know, in France you got these guys like Alain Ducasse and
right.
they've opened up their big places, but, you know, now he opens up a place like Spoon or...
It, precisely.
You know, coming down a little bit and
exactly.
giving, you know, I think people are starting to do that in Chicago, like Paul Kahn's done a little bit with the
back. A little bit, and Yoshi was like the first one to do it. Yeah, I think so. Yoshi's Cafe, he had like a high-end restaurant and dropped it down. It's hard serving, you know, there's, it's that type of style of restaurant, it's really hard to stay, you know, on top. And it's a massive undertaking. I mean, no, just, you know, like the, to do what, you know, they do at Alinea or I'm sure at Avenues and other places. Unbelievable number of people in the kitchen. It's like, well, you got to pay them. And I know what I pay in, you know, payroll and payroll tax. And it's phenomenal, and to train people and to hopefully keep people there for a long time. It's, you know, and to be able to, you know, a lower, you know, that style of restaurant to drop down from it that's super high end, it's, I mean, there's a number of things. One, it's easier to do in the sense that you don't need as many people. It's still just as difficult to do as well. But it's like, but you know, it's still, it's good food.
Yeah.
You know, and it's got to be nice to just have, like, you know, a good, you know, good, you know, pot of pho as opposed to, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a good bowl of pho, you know.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Exactly. And it's, you know, like
a five
good,
bucks.
Right, and a really good bowl of soup is like, oh, it's tremendous. You know, absolutely.
I think I'd like to see more, you know, folks who have the knowledge to go out and do something. Yeah, but I understand.
It's tough. At the same token, you do, right. There's a lot of different things involved. And it's also, you want to kind of stretch yourself creatively. And it's hard to, opening up a restaurant is, it's a tremendous, you know, undertaking. And to, not only financially and physically, but, you know, the failure rate is astronomical.
Yeah, I think I read you said you were 40 with 60-year-old knees or something like that.
Pretty much, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's definitely a young person's game.
I mean,
really personal.
What's that? What I was thinking about was, are you originally from Chicago?
Yeah, born and bred in Chicago. Went to college in New York and lived there for a little bit, and then moved back.
Did you get to go to CBGB's then? Back in the
Yes, I'd been to CBGB's not at that time.
Not
I did.
I
moved to New York, started college in 1980. But a fair number of the original the Ritz in New York. Never made it to the Mud Club or Max's Kansas City, but Danceteria, Peppermint Lounge. You know, a few places like that. It was sort of post, like, the real high point. Wasn't there during, like, when it, like, really, you know, like, 70, what was it, like, World Against 77, 72,
yeah,
79. No, I was here.
Yeah.
But did go, you know, saw, like, the local, you know, Wasmoneries and Skayfish at what is now Shuba's, what was Gaspar's, and went there. Didn't make it to La Mer by Bear, but was it O'Banion's? And, you know, definitely saw a fair number of... All the punk bands used to play at Park West.
Oh, okay.
Like Blondie and Devo and Talking Heads and Elvis Costello. Saw all those guys there.
Did you still go to a lot of live shows? Or?
Not as many.
Yeah.
Not as many. Still, part of it's just like, you know, just older and tired.
Right, right. Standing for like hours.
Yeah, it's like, I'm pretty good. Actually going to see the Stones tomorrow night. Yeah, so I still see some like bigger shows. But yeah, still every so often do. There are certain bands I still like to see. Went to see the New Pornographers in the fall. Saw Hot Hot Heat this summer.
How was that?
They were great. Both were great.
I'm a big Nico Case fan.
Yeah, they were great. And then there's a band, like great songs. Just great melodic songs. And then actually write, and it's an album of songs, and it's like, it's not just sounds and we sort of cool mixes and stuff. It's like, no, these are like, you know, sort of like Fountains of Wayne too. It's like these guys are writing pop songs, and it's a terrific song, and it was, they were terrific.
I remember when they first came out with the first album and like Radiation
Pornographers.
Fountains of Wayne.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Like Radiation Vibe and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I remember, I'm originally from Detroit, and we used to go see them at like small clubs in Detroit. And, you know, I just think it's, you know, success can happen to a greater group of guys.
Exactly. I was thrilled when Stacey's Mom became a hit. And, you know, you like that. I mean, it's great to see that these guys, you know, they, like I said, it's like, you know, people say, oh, they sold out. It's like, you know what? Hey, you know, let them go, like, eat out to dinner, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like they're buying, you know, they're not all on Cribs.
Right.
You know, it's like sometimes maybe they'd like to send their kids to college. You know, that's what I'm asking, you know. And it's like, you know what? We can retire at some point and be able to have, you know, some a little bit of the nicer things. in, you know, in life. And so,
my wife,
but yeah, I still like to go to
my wife
shows.
Always jokes that she would listen to them sing the telephone book.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you on that. It's a catchy, like I said, it's, you know, it's like, you know, to me, it's like, and it doesn't matter, I mean, who it is, you know, that's, you know, Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone song is a terrific song.
That absolutely is my favorite song.
It's a terrific song.
I crank that all the time, and like, all my friends are like, whatever. And I'm like,
right.
I don't care.
And you know what? And if you told all your friends, like, this is the new Kate Bush, they would all think, oh, that's great. It's like, but
true.
It is, but it's a great song. And it's like, you know, it's even that, you know, like the Black Eyed Peas to me, like, they're basically the Archies. But you know what? That My Hump song, ridiculous, stupid, catchy as all get out. I love listening to it in the car. It's absurd, but you know what? There's a place for that. And it's like, I love listening to that song, and I like playing half that album. But you know what? Like sort of the glory days of Top 40 radio, it's like, you know, to me, what's the difference between that and, like, Hooked on a Feeling? It's like, You know what? You love hearing those songs. Precisely. You know, it's, like, sort of the same thing, but it's, like, music like that, one of the things I love about music, and especially rock music and pop music, is it sort of takes you back to that place in your life. You know, it evokes certain memories, certain feelings. And it's just, it just, you know, anything that's sort of, whether it brings a smile to your face or makes your day a little bit better and it doesn't hurt anybody else, I'm all for it. And to me, and it's one of our, you know, one of the things I like about what I try to, it's sort of one of the philosophies of what I try to do at the restaurant is, you know, I was talking to someone recently about, like, you know, it's like they were saying, well, you don't have any competition. It's like, my competition is anybody, any place that serves lunch. Burger King, McDonald's, they're my competition. There's X number of dollars. I need to capture a portion of that, you know, to make a living and to keep the restaurant going. And so, you know, as an independent, I need to work a little bit harder. And my goal is to, it's not, you know, to me, it's, I want to make your day a little bit better. And I want, you know, whether it's like, you know, you coming up in a line and I try to make you laugh or to serve something good, to be playing, you know, the music, something, you know, different, just something a little different to make that time that you're in my restaurant a little bit better than sort of the day-to-day crap that happens to everybody. And so, like, music, if it provides that, you know, little spark, that little something, it's like, you know, this is a good
thing. I was just thinking about, like,
sure.
You have, because I was thinking about, like, family dynamic, and I started thinking,
right.
Do you have, you ever have a moment where you're, like, at a party or something like that, and somebody, you know, everybody always has the obligatory question, like, what do? And you're like, I'm at Cossacks.
It's like, yeah, I'm in the sausage business. Or, yeah, I sell hot dogs.
I'm Abe Froman.
Precisely. Exactly. That's right. I am the Abe Froman of Abe Fromanville. Sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's like, and it's like, you know, or I make lunch for people.
Yeah. It's as noble as it gets.
I like to think so. I mean, I don't stand on, you know, the moral
horse here. You're not saving lives,
but no.
You are in some ways, maybe.
Maybe.
This ends this culinary podcast for Hungry Magazine. Check out www.hungrymag.com for more. Four, three, two.